walk away with maybe a new hope that, God is there no matter what you're going through, and there's always hope. And no matter how bad it gets, it can get better. Like, this, don't give up at this point that, God can bring you through and you will get better and you will heal. It might not be an easy path, but you can do it, and you can do it with God's help.
Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another Literary Escape podcast episode. And today I'm so excited to have Lynette Eason back with us to talk about her newest release, Twilight Tactics. So welcome, Lynette.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So it's always a treat to talk to you. I think this is our second time having you on the podcast. But for those who are new to the podcast, can you just give us a little snapshot of who you are and what you write?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Lynette Eason, and I write romantic suspense for Revell, which is a publishing company. And as for who I am, I wear many hats. I am a mom, a wife, an agent, a writer, conference director. I don't know, you name it, I'm probably involved in it. So yeah, that's just a little quick snapshot of who I am.
I love it. And I love that you say you wear multiple hats. I think we all do throughout our lives. And those hats change, right? From time to time.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, they do. Daily.
So you've written over 70 books, which is pretty amazing, actually, when you think about it. So how do you keep that creativity fresh after all those stories?
That's a really good question. I'm not really sure how to answer that, to be honest. I just starting a whole new book or a new series, it's just super exciting. And I brainstorm with friends, other author friends who write kind of in the same genre. Somehow I keep winding up coming up with new stories. And I think when it's, new and it's just kind of fresh, it's just fun.
Yeah. Something new, right? After you've wrapped up one, it's nice to start something new. Yeah.
Exactly.
So let's talk about Soldiers in Shadows, right, is your next series that's getting ready to come out. And the first book is Twilight Tactics. So what inspired this series and what drew you to centering it around a ranch that serves for trauma recovery?
Well, like I was saying, when it's time for something new, I'm trying to think of something I haven't actually done before and something that I haven't seen recently or ever. And I'm really not sure exactly where the idea came from. I was probably looking at some series and I was like, oh, this is about veterans. What if they have a special place to go to and, to heal and that kind of thing. I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to have a ranch, like an outdoorsy place, and that kind of thing for these veterans who, suffer from PTSD and, all different kinds of stuff. Wouldn't it be fun to have a place like that, to create a place like that? And then I just kind of give my imagination free rein and off we go. So I'm not really sure how I came up with it. I just did. And how does you said something about represent thematically in the story. A ranch is just a very peaceful place. It can be. I understand it's like when you have a working ranch, it's also hard work. But, when the work is done and you can finally take a breath and you just kind of look out over the landscape, it's like, wow, this is really cool. This is really peaceful. And I just think it's a good place to find healing. You can find healing in hard work. So, yeah.
Yeah. For sure. And you named it Broken Chains Ranch. Was that intentional, and how did you come up with that? Does it match, I guess, the themes that you have running throughout the series?
Yeah, sure. I think I actually skipped ahead a little bit.
You're okay.
You can edit that part out. So I think with the Broken Chains, when I was deciding on a name for it, you know, there's that song. I think it's Chris Tomlin's Amazing. I don't know whose it is. So Amazing Grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the different song, not the old hymn, but our chains are broken and that kind of thing. That just is like, oh, Broken Chains. Yeah, that's going to be the name of the ranch. That was cool.
I love that. I love that we can draw inspiration too from hymns or other songs that have come out. I know which one you're talking about, but you know what?
Yeah.
When you're on the spot, it's hard to pull.
Yeah, it's hard to think. The words my chains are gone. I've been set free. That I think it's one of the lines in the song. So that's kind of what was going through my head when I named it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so in Twilight Tactics, we have our hero, our FBI agent, Colin Sullivan. He arrives at the ranch, not on a mission, but as a protector of a teenage witness. So how did you develop Colin's character, and what makes him different from other heroes that you've written?
Well, I ended up naming him Sully, actually. I mean, his name is Colin, but he's got this nickname. For some reason, I don't know, he just wasn't a Colin for me. I was like, oh, he needs a nickname. He's Sully. So anyway.
I love it.
And so, but anyway, so I think he's probably, well, how I developed his character was probably just thinking through his occupation and what he was doing and protecting a teenage witness. And, you know, he's going to have to be pretty tough and smart and maybe kind of hard-nosed, stubborn for sure. And so I just was thinking about, you know, what type of person would have to be not only just, you know, an FBI agent, but also being willing to protect this teenager. And but he's also got a soft spot, you know, he's kind of a teddy bear for those who he loves. And, you know, I think he's different from other characters simply because he's a different character. And he has his own personal, you know, his wounds, his own hang-ups, his own quirks, his faults, you know, and his own mental, he gets in his head too much sometimes. So, I mean, he's not perfect by any means. And so, well, none of my characters are, but I don't know exactly what makes him different. He's just different. Like,
yeah,
he's definitely his own person, his own character.
Yes, which I think we find that across all of the books that you write.
Because
you're right, they all have their own little personality traits, their likes and dislikes and so on, just like each of us have. So
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you paired him with Elena Thompson, who's a survival expert and self-defense coach. So where did you come up with that idea for her?
You know, it's so funny because I call myself a seat of the pants writer, an organic writer. But I spend a lot of time on my characters because if I don't know who my characters are, I don't know what to write about them. Like, I don't know where to take them, or I need to know who they are. And so I spent a lot of time with Elena's character and trying to figure out who she was and what her story was, her background. And I ended up putting her into a prepper community. In the prepper community, they called themselves preppers, but they function more like a cult. And in fact, she gets teased about by her friend Maya, who is the one who started the ranch. And so she's like, you know, well, the prepper community they're not violent. She's like, well, it's not a prepper, it's cult. It's like, you know, and so they go back and forth about that. But, and I was trying to think, okay, so if she grew up in that environment, what kind of things would she know how to do? What would her skills be? And of course, as the author, I can make them whatever I want them to be. But that I thought she would know a lot about survival and, you know, being prepared for the end of the world kind of thing. She would also, she, you know, because of her situation, and she was a teenager much like Ollie when she was in a tough situation, just the things that she would want to know, want to teach herself. And so that's kind of how I created her character and morphed her into who she became in the story.
It sounds like quite an interesting pair between the two of them, for sure.
Right?
So you touched on Ollie just a little bit. So he's the teenager who witnessed this mob hit and he's under protection. So how did you approach writing his character then?
Okay. Well, Ollie is a female. She's a young
Well, I'm
girl.
so sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I guess it stands for Olivia. I guess I should have put that in there. But so Ollie, she I think I take my characters and I just pull them out of my brain somehow. But I just try to kind of put myself in her place. Okay, here's this young girl. She's an orphan and she's been in the foster system. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It sounds pretty cliche, but I don't think her character's cliche at all. She has Addison's disease, and so I had to do a lot of research on that and what all that entailed for her and being in the witness protection program. And well, it's not really witness protection, the FBI is protecting her, but still. And so it was just, and then I had to create, okay, so she's a teenager. What are some things she would be interested in? She loves basketball. She's very interested in learning how to protect herself. Of course, running from the mob, you kind of want to know how to protect yourself. That would be good. So when she's brought to this community, this ranch of all these veterans and people, and she sees that she's not alone. And Elena pretty much takes her under her wing to try to help her, show her how to protect herself and self-defense and kind of stuff. So there's a couple of scenes in the books about that, and one of them's pretty funny how that goes down. So, yeah.
I can imagine. So then there's this moment, or I guess not a moment, where there's a siege, right? So the characters are cut off really from the outside world, right? And how did you research that part of the plot? Because I
How
feel
about
like when you're talking like current times, it's hard to be totally cut off. I don't
well,
know.
it was hard. I mean, I have an FBI agent buddy who helped me kind of figure that some of that stuff out. It is very hard. Okay, so now when you're traveling, you're in the mountains and you're looking at your cell phone and you're going, I have a signal. Where can I get a signal? Okay. So, well, and this is not one of those places. Like the ranch has cell phone signals and they have Wi-Fi and they don't have any trouble with this. And so I'm like, and not only that, but the new phones, they have the SOS feature, which is a satellite thing. You can connect to the satellite as long as you can find the right place. And you can text and I don't know if you can call or not. I tried it. I never could get it to work for my phone, but apparently it can get it to work. So, sort of. And so I was like, how am I going to cut this ranch off completely? So I had to figure that out. I had to do all kinds of research and talk to people about how does this work? How can I jam not just the cell phone signal, but also the satellite signal? And so I tried to figure it out. I think I got it right from the feedback that I got from the people I talked to. If I didn't and somebody dings me on it, well, I did my research. I did the best I could. We'll just say, I'm probably good. Yeah, but lots of research. Lots and lots of research for sure.
And that sounds like very technical research. Like it would get over my head pretty quick, I think, if I were you.
It was pretty technical for sure.
My goodness, but I'm glad you have people you can call on to help with that as well. And we
Me
always have
too.
to remember it's fiction and it's okay
Yeah.
if it's not truly
Exactly.
realistic completely. So
Exactly. Although I will say, I really do try to get mine as realistic as possible. So.
yeah. Which I appreciate, and I know your readers appreciate that too, but I think we can also give you some leeway in some of those areas too.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll take it.
You also do a wonderful job of weaving in that faith element into all of your stories where it's just natural. It just comes out in your characters' actions and words. So what themes or faith elements did you really focus on weaving into Twilight Tactics, or did it just kind of come to you as you wrote?
Like I said, I'm pretty much an organic writer. And so the thing is, they do come to me as I write. A lot of times, not every time, sometimes I do know ahead of time and about, I want to talk about this thing. Like the book I just finished, I knew that thing was going to be Grace before I even started. But so in Twilight Tactics, I would say, there's survival and then there's truly living. right? And there's found family. There's trust under pressure. Like, you're not sure who to trust, but you know, you have to trust somebody. Second chances. And just some really cool things about how the past doesn't define your future. And I do that one a lot just because it seems to resonate with so many readers. I don't have this crazy wild past. I have a very tame, rather boring past. And so, but I know everybody is not as fortunate, I guess, as I am with their past. And so, you know, I don't know. That theme seems to show up a lot in my stories.
I love that theme too, because even like if we have a boring past, like I think I'm with you, I have a pretty boring past. there's still things in our past though that I think we could go, oh man, which I
well,
didn't
yeah,
or
for
didn't
sure.
get it that way. Or...
Absolutely, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
The other piece of your writing that's always so great is you put in really great twists that most readers I don't think can see coming. So how do you just continue to create these twists that even your most experienced reader is surprised by?
Well, I try to surprise myself. So like, I know there was one book, I can't remember which one it was. I was like 75,000 words into this 80,000 word book. And I get there and I'm like, wait a minute. This isn't the bad guy. This person is. And so I was like, oh gosh, and it all fit. Like it must have had been in my subconscious. I don't know, because I was able to go back and just tweak a few things and make it all fit so that when and the villain was revealed, you know, I was even kind of like, oh, that was pretty cool. So, you know, it doesn't happen that way with every story, but I just try to make it the person that you would least expect. And, or I try to make a, you know, with the red herring, you're following this person and you're so sure it's this person. And now this person's sneaking in the back door going, it's me, surprise. So I don't know. If I can surprise myself, I figure my readers would be surprised.
So in Twilight Tactics, were there some twists that surprised you?
And Twilight Tactics? Yeah, one. Yeah, but I can't tell you what it is.
That's okay. We don't want to give away spoilers.
Yeah, there was one. So I, in my head, the whole book, I had it, this character. And then I get to the part where Elena's captured and taken to the compound. And I'm like, it's not this person. It's this person. And if it,
okay,
yeah,
just like what you just described. I don't know if you've ever read, I'm trying to think, Lynn Shannon's books at all, or if you know her
I don't
writing.
Think so, yeah.
You sound similar to her in her writing, because she, when I interviewed her, she said the same thing. She was, I don't always know who did it. I always have like three or four people that you're suspicious of. And then at the end, I'll go, it's them. Because when you read her books, it's always a shocker too, as to who did it and why.
So. Very cool. Very cool.
All right. So let's. Looking ahead at the series, because Twilight Tactics is book one in Soldiers in Shadows. So can you share a little bit about some of the characters that, do you have some that show up in book one that we'll get to see later in the series as well?
Yes.
Okay. Can you share
yes.
a little bit about them?
Sure. So Missing Asset is actually book two in the series. And Felicity Bowman is the person on the ranch who is in charge of the canine program, like the dog, she does dog training for various police departments and that kind of stuff. And so she's in charge of that. Well, that's book two with her. Leo, I don't think is in the first book. He came in, I brought him in just in the second book, but he shows up in the third book, which is what I just finished writing and turned in last week. So yay me. And so that book is called Zero Hour. And that is with Evie, who is not in the first or second book, and Red, who is not in either of the first books. But everybody that's in the first book and the second book is in the third book.
Okay.
Okay. Actually, Evie is in the second book kind of right at the end, at the very end, when I show her riding to the ranch. And so, yeah, and then there's a fourth book. There's four books in the series, and the fourth book doesn't have a title yet, and I haven't started working on it yet, but I know it will be Rachel Evans, who is in the first three stories, and so she will be the heroine in the fourth book. So, yeah.
Awesome. This is exciting. Do you typically do four books or threes, or yeah. just a pen?
I have done four books since the Elite Guardian series. That was the first series I did four books in. And my publisher just called me up one day through my agent and was like, hey, we love your three book series. Would you consider doing four books? And I'm like, sure, why not? I mean, yeah. So, and it's just been four books with every series ever since. So, yeah.
Wow. So let's talk real quickly. Just want to touch on the series title is Soldiers in Shadows. And how does that connect to the heart of the stories within it?
Well, the soldiers, they're ones that they come to the ranch for healing. They're just, you know, war is not a pretty thing. And you have all kinds of effects and, you know, such as PTSD, which is the major thing from fighting and war, I would think. And just all kinds of mental and physical issues that can come with that type of trauma. And it's really a place for those who have experienced trauma to come heal, and veterans, you know, that have fought. And so I just think that, wait a minute, what am I talking about? Okay, so rewind.
Soldiers in Shadows and how that title
connects. How did I get to that title? So the series title connects to these soldiers that are in the shadows of trauma and need healing. So that's kind of how I came up with the series name. And the publisher kept it. So that was cool.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. Actually, I like that connection. That's really awesome.
Thank you.
All right. So for our Literary Escape community of readers who love Christian romance, what do you hope the reader takes away from Twilight Tactics when they close the book?
You know, I just really hope that they were very entertained for the first part, that they weren't bored out of their skull. And so I'm like, please tell me you really enjoyed the story. And to walk away with maybe a new hope that, you know, God is there no matter what you're going through, and there's always hope. And no matter how bad it gets, it can get better. Like, you know, this, don't give up at this point, that, you know, God can bring you through and you will get better and you will heal. It might not be an easy path, but you can do it, and you can do it with God's help. And so I just hope readers find hope. I hope they find hope.
Yeah. I hear that a lot from authors that mm-hmm. we interview, just really wanting to leave their readers with hope, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So if someone's never read any of your books, is Twilight Tactics a great starting point, or would you recommend having them start somewhere else? Or does each series kind of stand on its own?
The stories do stand on their own, but, you know, like I said, the ones that are in a series, you will have the characters showing up, and you don't have to read the former books to understand what's going on or who they are. It's pretty self-explanatory, or I explain it well without giving you a summary of the story before. But for this particular series, I recommend reading Whiteout. At least my story, there's two novellas in that book called Whiteout. Dani Petri has one that's related to one of her series, and then I have one that is actually the opening for this series. It's about Maya and Gideon and how the ranch, how Broken Chains came to be. Yeah.
Oh, neat. Okay. Hey, that's exciting. I didn't even know you had that novella out. So can that be purchased on Amazon then?
Yes. Okay. Revelle did it. I probably actually have one somewhere. I could show you the cover, but hang on a second. Let me grab it. Okay. This is it.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I can take the sticker off of it. I saw them at the conferences. But anyway, this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. So it's called Snowbound Secrets. And so it's just about Maya and Gideon, and they come across one another. They were high school sort of like best friends, but they weren't really sweethearts, but they were buddies. And they meet up at this ski resort, and they get snowed in by an avalanche, and they can't get out, and there's a killer trying to kill Maya. So of course, it goes from there.
I love it. It's a great plot. And so what I'll do is then put a link in the blog post for this episode. So if anyone wants to start with that book, you can. And then when this episode comes out, it'll be right around the time that Twilight Tactics releases, which is beginning August.
August 4th, I think. August 4th or something like that. It's August, yeah.
Okay, so this one's going to air on July 31st. So if you're listening the day it comes out, you've got time to read that novella right before Twilight Tactics comes out.
Perfect.
All right. And I assume then the best place to pre-order Twilight Tactics is then on Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon or, you know, Baker Bookhouse does a really great deal. They offer you 40% off if you want the hardcover. If you want the paperback. Sorry, not the hardcover. The paperback. They order 40% off and free shipping.
Wow. Okay. So I will also put a link to, you said Baker Publishing?
Baker Bookhouse. Baker Bookhouse.
Baker Bookhouse. Okay. I will put a link to your book on there as well so that people have an option as to who they want to order from. That's awesome. I didn't realize they gave a 40% discount on that.
They do. They do. Yeah. And Christianbook.com does a really great, they do promos and stuff too. So, I mean, you can get it anywhere. I try to support Baker Bookhouse because they're part of Baker Publishing, but they sell everybody's books. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll make sure all those links are in and then everybody can make their decision on where they want to go shopping for your books.
Okay.
We are going to move into the rapid fire round. So we just have 7 questions here and you can just give whatever comes to your mind first. Okay. So first question, everyone always wants to know, coffee or tea?
Tea. I hate coffee. I'm not a real writer, obviously.
No, that's okay. That's all right. All right. Do you like writing in silence or with music playing?
Silence, if that's the choice. I'll pick silence. Or sometimes I have the TV on.
Really? You can concentrate with the TV on? Wow, yeah. That's impressive. I'm a silent girl. All right. And would you do beach vacation or a mountain retreat?
Mountains. I love the mountains.
And you kind of already told us this already, but pantser or plotter?
Pantser. Honestly, though, I used to be just a straight, full-blown pantser, but now I'm kind of a planter. I mean, somewhere in the middle.
I love that term, planter. Do you prefer the book or the movie or TV adaptation?
It depends. Mostly the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if Twilight Tactics were made into a movie, who would you dream cast as Colin and Elena?
Oh my gosh, that's a tough one. I have not thought about this. And so pulling these two people out of my head is a little tough.
You can pass if you want.
No, I would say for Colin, Sully. I call him Sully. And maybe Christopher Palaha and Elena. Another lovely Hallmark actress. Maybe Aaron Kraka.
Okay. Awesome. I struggle with these questions myself because I don't watch a lot of TV and I don't honestly know who's even acting anymore most days.
I know. Well, I watch a lot of Hallmark and so I can pull from there.
All right. And then do you have one word that describes the feeling of finishing a manuscript?
I don't know if one word covers it. Hallelujah.
I love it. And you just finished one, correct? You just sent one in. So that's a fresh feeling for you. But well, thank you so much, Lynette, for joining us today. I'm so excited for your newest release, and we hope to have you back on the podcast again soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.